Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for a time like this. As we look into the written word, we ask and receive revelation that is found in Christ and Him alone. We receive instructions and all that is written concerning your Son Jesus from the written word. We behold Him as He sees us in Himself. He is glorified and we are edified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you the Bibles? You can be coming for this is the title of Bibles. Matthew 28, verse 18 into 20. Quickly. Matthew 28, from verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And say, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Okay. We've been looking at this word, this verse for a while. But let's look at this. That word, "Go therefore and teach all nations." That word "teach" is that word where we have "to make disciples." Matitio implies the act of grooming a pupil to becoming a scholar. Grooming a pupil to becoming a scholar. It is used for how one is taught in a citadel of learning. So that word matitio means the act of enrolling one in a school. It's from the word, it has a noun, matitis, which is the one who is enrolled. You understand? That's a noun, the one who is enrolled, which is the pupil himself. And it's from the word metanon, to learn. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we said this is done. We've been looking at this for a while. He said this is done via teaching. Meaning this training is done via teaching. Verse 20 says teaching them. So meaning discipleship is carried out via teaching. And in teaching, which is the word didasco. The act of instructing, the act of explaining. In the didasco or in this teaching, the disciples must pay attention. Something very vital. The disciple must pay attention to Christ's mode of explanation. Must pay attention to Christ's mode of explanation, which is his didache. Because that word didasco is from the word didache. You understand me? So when you say very important, must pay attention to Christ's mode of explanation, is because didasco is from the word didache. And didache has to do with a mode of explaining, a mode of explanation, a way of explanation. So in the act of teaching, there is a mode of communication. So in as much as the disciple of Christ is taught from the scriptures, he should also pay attention to how he is being taught. Do you understand me? Very important. He has to pay attention to how he is being taught, or the teaching, the mode of teaching. Very important. So not just the message, and also the mode of communicating is very important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Matthew 7, 28. "And it came to pass, when Jesus has ended these things, that the people were astonished at his doctrine." That word doctrine is the word didache. At his mode of explanation, they were astonished at his mode of explanation, didache. in chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 23. Oh, start from verse 20. I'll start from verse 18. They came to meet him. Actually, let me just give us a background. They came to meet him and they asked him, is it about tax? They kept asking the question about paying of tax.
Hallelujah.
And they wanted to what? We start from verse 15. They wanted to get him in a fix. So they came asking it. Is it lawful to pay tax to Caesar or not? Now that question is, guys, if you say it is not lawful, then they report it to Caesar. Do you understand? It's a dicey question. So if you say it is lawful to pay tithes, it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, it will not be, this guy is not a Jew. Do you understand? Did you get that? Because they are Jews. Do you understand? So this guy is not a Jew. So they can now blaspheme further. So it's like, it's a double waiting. It's just like asking someone, are you the cured of your HIV? You know, you can't say yes to having the cured of your HIV. If you say yes, it means, so you had it before, right? If you say no, you're like, so you still have HIV. Did you get it? So it's a dicey one. And the way Jesus now responded was, verse 22 said they were marveled, right? They were marveled in verse 22. Jesus' response to them was for them to bring the what? The coin. He asked, whose image is on? This is the Pharisees. This is like, whose image do you have on this coin? When you talk about image, that word icon comes to play again. Are you listening? It brings an icon. And you know, that is Genesis 1. These guys are learned in the Torah. So when they hear icon, it comes to play again. Wow. So that means, and Jesus now said, give to Caesar. Now when they asked whose image is on this coin, what did they say? They said Caesar. Do you understand? Caesar's image is on the coin. Now, Jesus bringing image into the picture takes us back to Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Do you understand? Let us make man in our image. And that image there is what is Christ. Are you listening to me? Now, he now says, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and give to God that which belongs to God. So, what did he just do? He just opened it up for them. And, you know, what happened was that they were like, wow, they were marveled at how he explained that. Because he just came out of their trap. When he said, give to God that which belongs to God, what belongs to God? What belongs to God? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, your very life. Do you understand? Give to God that which belongs to God, which is your very life. Hallelujah. Did you get that? That's salvation in play. Glory to God. That's salvation in you. So they were amazed. Give to God what belongs to God. Give to Caesar that which belongs to him. Give to God that which belongs to him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So render to God will be what? Your very life. Salvation. Glory to God. So when the Sadducees now saw that Jesus has dealt with the Pharisees, they now came their own. The Pharisees, these are the guys that love the law. Glory to God. The Sadducees, they are the ones that don't believe in the resurrection. Right? they are a major on their own. You know, they also had dichotomy now. They also had different factions of people and what they believe from the Torah. You understand me? So these guys, in verse 23, hearing of, this is happening the same day, hearing of what had, how Jesus has handled
the Pharisees. They came and they asked him, a woman
got married. The husband died. He now passed on to all his brothers, and all of them died. Now say, in the resurrection, whose wife was she? Jonathan. Which Jonathan?
So look at Jesus' response, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. You err. We'll get to see this shortly. For in the resurrection, they are neither given to marry or given to marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, now, he brings them back again to what? Back to Genesis. Right? Where? In the beginning. Right? Right? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It takes their mind back. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Look at what happened in verse 3. And the multitudes heard this, and they were astonished at his teaching, at his doctrine, his mode of explanation. Where did he answer them from? The same Torah that they always read. The same Moses that they've always read. Did you get that? So they were astonished. That word doctrine or teaching in verse 33 is that same word didache. Didache. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, 21 into 22. And when they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue. He entered the synagogue and taught. Look at verse 22. And they were astonished at his teaching. Did you see this? They were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not like one of the scribes. Not like one of the scribes. Hallelujah. 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 So that word, they were astonished at his teaching. That teaching there is the same word didache. So why were they surprised? He said, for he taught as one having authority. They were surprised because the way Jesus taught from the same Torah that they heard from the Pharisees and Sadducees was not the same way they taught them. Let me take that again. The way Jesus explained the Torah was different from the way the Sadducees and the Pharisees explained the Torah. You understand? They explained the scriptures. So Jesus' mode of explaining scriptures is the right way scriptures ought to be explained. You understand? Is the right way scriptures ought to be explained. Because the scriptures are given to us to know God. You understand? Scriptures, we'll get to see that tomorrow. Scriptures are written so that we will know God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So Jesus' explanation should be how scripture should be explained. John 1 verse 18. Remember that? He said, the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father. No one has seen God at any time. He said, the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father. He said he had exegomized him. He had explained him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, and the scripture is given to us to tell, the scripture was written to make man know God. Do you understand me? I have to reveal God to man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus' explanation of scripture
would now be the right explanation of scripture, saying that what he explains to us.
Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 25. He says, "O fool and slow of heart to believe in none that the prophet has spoken." He says, "Ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and enter into his glory?" He says, "Beginning as Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Hallelujah. In Hebrews 1:1 into 2, he said, "God who has sundry time and in diverse manner spoke in time past to the fathers through the prophets, as in this last day spoken to us in the Son." Hallelujah. "Who had made what heir of all these things." So, meaning the words of the prophet are the words of Christ. The words spoken of by the prophet are the words of Christ. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and God is the Word. Same was in the beginning with God, all things were made through Him, and without Him is anything made that is made. In Him is life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended not." Now, you read down. It says, "There was a man sent from God who was to bear witness of the light." Say, "He is not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." He said, "This is the true life. This light is every man that cometh into the world." See, he was in the world. The world was made by him, but was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own. His own did not receive him, but as many as received him. See, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, who were born not of blood, of the will of flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. He says, "And the word became flesh." So meaning the word spoken of by the prophet, in the lips of the prophet, became flesh and tabernacled among us. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Let me put it like this. That, remember the word is the word logos, right? The reason for, right? The reason behind, right? Now, and I said it deals with the thought pattern. Now, listen to this. Now, when it says, "And the word became flesh," remember it is that reason for that the prophet spoke about. Right? He is called Logos because he predates the prophet. Right? So the prophet would not have that Logos, the reason for, in their utterances. Glory to God. Now in that word that was before, or that is Genesis 1, John 1, that was the words of the prophet that they bore witness of, that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Glory to God. So we can now say the words of the prophet are Christ. Do you understand that? The words of the prophet, spoken of by the prophet, are Christ. Christ's words. Those are his words. So that is why we say it is not right, it's not proper to say Jesus quoted or Jesus used Moses' word. No, Moses used Christ's words. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Because he is the owner of the word. So when he came, he just had to speak his words, right? That has been spoken of earlier on by the prophets. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the words of the prophet are his. They are his. So his explanation of scripture becomes the proper explanation of scriptures. This is the reason why when we read in Matthew 22 verse 29, he will not tell them the end, because they know not the scriptures. Why would he tell them the end? Because they know not the scriptures. It meaning that their explanation of scriptures is wrong. Hallelujah. So that word end, the word planao or planao, P-L-A-N-A-O in the Greek, is the word that implies to cause to go astray. To cause to go astray. Planao. P-L-A-N-A-O. To cause to go astray. It is used for doctrinal errors. Doctrinal error. That's the word. Is the word used, or it implies to deceive. Planao. You err. You go astray, used for doctrinal error. You find it used in the four gospel in Matthew 24 verse 5. Matthew 24:5, Matthew 24:11, Matthew 24:24.
Matthew 24:5, 11-24. Matthew 12:27. Matthew 13:5-6. Luke 21:8. John 7:12. John 7:47. Matthew 18:12. In the epistles, you find it in 1 Corinthians 6:9, 15:3, Galatians 7:2, 2 Timothy 3:13, Titus 3:3, Hebrews 3:10, Hebrews 3:10, Hebrews 5:12, Hebrews 11:38, James 1:16. James 5:19, 1 Peter 2:15. That's the word. To err, Jesus spoke to them because you know not the scriptures. You know, you err because you know not the scriptures. The same thing too, he would tell them in Matthew 5:39. Say, you search the scriptures. Say, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me. So to explain Christ or to explain scriptures outside Christ's explanation is to end. Do you understand? Did you get that? We're going to see, we're going to look at what Christ's explanation of scriptures is. Hallelujah. Is to end. So Jesus will fault their reading of scriptures. He says, you search the scriptures diligently, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are them which testify of me. Say, but you are not, but you will not come to the meaning, you will not come to the testimony of the scriptures concerning me. Do you understand? So, meaning when they study diligently, they come to their own conclusion. Did you get that? To their own conclusion. So, you know, Paul will refer to such people as what they serve their own belly. Do you understand? Aha. They serve their own belly. Glory to God. In verse 46 of John 5, he says, Moses test wrote of him. He said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Therefore, he wrote concerning me, he wrote of me. So the way scripture ought to be read and interpreted should be concerning Christ. We'll take this a bit further during our GPLR. The way scriptures ought to be read and interpreted should be concerning Christ. So look at that concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Should be concerning Christ. Take it a bit. Hallelujah. Take note. I did not say every verse and line in scripture is Christ. Only we are talking about the interpretation. That's why I say we'll continue during GPLR. Hallelujah. So meaning you have to be around for GPLR. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So we'll stretch it further. We open that word. Hallelujah. So upon Jesus' resurrection, which is in Luke 24, we discover that what he taught them concerning himself. Right? Luke 24, verse 14, chapter 27. He says, "O fools, slow up to believe in all the prophets that have spoken. Ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory?" He said, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Verse 44. Said, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must indeed be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus' explanation of scripture will still be what concerning what himself. In that Luke 24, he uses the word diamenio. Very important. It will come strong to us in our second. In the second section, hallelujah, he uses the word diamenu in verse 27 for the word expound. He expounded unto them. Diamenu. That word diamenu implies to go through in order to explain. Dia, to go across. Hemenu, meaning to explain. Now, it's from the compound word dia and hemenu, or hemis. Hallelujah. Now, that word dia means to go across. The other word, hermeneu or hermes, where you have the word hermes from, is the word that implies to interpret a language. To interpret a language. To interpret. So that means Jesus would go through the scriptures and would explain through the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, because that's what they had as scriptures then. Hallelujah. He explained Genesis to Malachi as concerning himself. So he went through the scriptures. He explained the language. So part of what he will be explaining will be also the language of the prophets used at different dispensations. Do you understand? You explain. So when you hear language of the prophet, that does not mean no. The language there will not be the interpretation of the words of the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hope you are here. Hope you are here. Glory to God. So for Jesus to explain Genesis to Malachi, what does that tell you? Because it was very important. Well, before he left, he told them there are many things I want to tell you, but I cannot. Right? Right? He said, but when the Spirit of truth shall come, they shall guide you into all the truth. We've done that study here before, right? And I said, that was done when? Huh? Upon his resurrection. Right? We said that, right? We've done that study. I can still remember. That should be the last study. But we'll still look at it tomorrow. Hallelujah. So when they say he will guide you into all truth, that word will guide. We did that in the last study. That word to guide is that word used by Ethiopian Enoch when he asked Philip to teach him scriptures. You understand? So they guided his interpretation of scriptures. Do you understand? That is the same word used. It says, when they asked him, understand what happened there, they say, how can I? And he said, someone would guide me. Do you understand? So that guide is used to aid. It is used for what? Interpretation of scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, listen. So when he says, how between the Spirit of truth shall come, it shall guide you into all the truth. Remember, the truth is referring to that word truth in the word aletheia. That word aletheia is used for one's integrity. And what was he communicating to them about his resurrection? Hallelujah. So that guiding into all reality will not be what he's speaking to them concerning his resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So listen to this. So at his resurrection, within the 40 days, he guided them into all those realities. Hallelujah. But sir, I thought it was the interpretation of, if I'm studying the scripture, the Holy Ghost will be speaking. We'll get to see that tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that you don't miss things up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you have to know how Jesus uses words. You have to know how he uses words. Glory to God. Jesus will be talking about what he will do. He will use a third person. I don't know those pronouns as singular. Third person pronouns. I'm listening to one of our messages. I went to say present continuous. I went to say past.
Maybe she helped me.
I did not like English. But I like tongues. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's come back. So, that word will expand, will not mean, listen, you will go through it. Whatever where? Okay, so you will go through it, right? He explained, he guided them. So that 40 days, what he did within the 40 days was to do what? Guide them into all the truth which he spoke to them about. Right? From the scriptures. But I talk to the Holy Ghost that will bring it to the leader. Just because you don't understand how Jesus interprets scriptures. Now for him to do that, it shows that the Old Testament scriptures are scriptures that are in need of explanation. You understand? Jesus going through the scriptures, explaining it means that the scriptures needs to be explained. In verse 34 of Luke 24, he said, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things will be fulfilled written in the law of Moses, in the prophet and the Psalms concerning me.
Concerning me. So which were written? So what was written needs to be explained. Hallelujah. So the Old Testament books ought to be explained, and explained in Christ's didache, Christ's mode of explanation. So in summary, we can say the Old Testament books are books in need of explanation.
And the explanation must be what? Christ's explanation. And this is the reason why the disciples in the book of Acts, their mode of explanation of scripture was the same mode of explanation of Christ. Do you understand? They explained, look at Acts 2. Peter explaining what, explaining utterance, started from what? Joel. Right? From there, where did he, from Joel, he started explaining utterance, and then immediately he started explaining again, as in he linked it and he explained the resurrection. He quoted David and explained it in Christ. Did you understand me? Christ's mode of explanation. Hallelujah. Did you get that? And the people, and 3,000 were saved. The 3,000, what was the first thing, part of the first thing that they were introduced to in discipleship? Christ's mode of explanation. Verse 22. And all this continued where? Continued in the apostles' what? Doctrine. That word is the word didache, mode of explanation. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Glory to God. So, this tells you that the disciple of Christ ought to learn how scriptures are interpreted. Those guys, those brothers, now I can't call them guys. Those brethren in Acts 2:42. Those brethren in Acts 2:42. Seeing that part of the first thing they were exposed to is what? Prayer. Also, they were exposed to what? Explanation. How scriptures are explained. So, a disciple of Christ ought to learn how scriptures are explained. Hallelujah. Ought to learn it. And it's very important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we could say the Old Testament books are books in need of explanation. We said that. Now, this is the reason why Paul will call it mysterion. We'll call it mystery. Mysterion. Mysterion. The word mysterion, I did a swap in this Tuesday. You see, and communion with, and give it up. I did a swap. But we'll leave it at this here, but we'll break it down. Because when we in the broader meeting. Hallelujah. Mysterion is, it implies what needs to be explained. The word mysterious actually implies a secret. And then it's from a root word. A root word that means to be taught. From a root word which implies to be taught. It's the root word implies to be taught, to explain. Hallelujah. So we can answer mysterious means implies something that is kept or that is secret. Kept secret, but needs to be explained, or that is in need of explanation. Now, who keeps his secret? We've done that study over and over and over again. God does not hide scriptures, right? So, what hides scriptures? Man's understanding, right? Hallelujah. God does not hide scriptures. No, it's man that hides it. Unbelief. Right? Unbelief hides the scripture. We've done that study over and over again. You can get the messages. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unbelief hides the scriptures. So you get the messages. Glory to God. So get the message, the new birth and the leading of the Spirit. We have it there. We explain it there. So in Romans 16 verse 25, let's go to Romans 16 verse 25. Let's see how Paul uses the word mystery. I'm going to pay attention to a few these things. We'll see, get to see, look at it very well. In Romans 16 verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Christ, according to the revelation, mark that word revelation in your mind, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now when you hear which was kept secret since the world began, you know it can be God. Hallelujah. It's man's unbelief. Right? Because the very first person the scripture was ministered to, Adam, did he believe? He did. Did you get that? Aha. Very important. Okay, since the word began, but now it's made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all the nations for the obedience of the faith. So he uses the word mystery and what? He uses the word mystery, but inside that, you know, you should find two words to make manifest, right? But now it's made manifest in verse 26, revelation of the mystery. Very important. And he calls this word my gospel. Remember, when you hear my gospel, you have to go back to chapter 1, verse 1. It's actually the gospel of God concerning Christ and his resurrection. Right? Right? Chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. So he said the power, so he makes credence towards the message of Christ, right? Make credence to his preaching. Which you can still call what you have at his disposal. Are you following me? So what we can still call what is epistle. Okay. Mark that and have that. So, but look at Ephesians 3, verse 1 to 5. Ephesians 3, 1 to 5. Mark that down somewhere.
You see how more detail you show in GPL.
But mark it down. You need this as you proceed to GPL.
Ephesians 3, 1 to 5. See, for this cause I fought the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you what? How that by revelation, mark that too. By revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mysterion of Christ. Now, very important. Mark that word revelation. And where does he call this? Where does he say this revelation is? In his epistle, right? Right? Take note of that. Look at Colossians 1:26. It says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and generations. Unbelief, right? Right? Unbelief. Ages and from generation. It says, but now it's made manifest. Right? Mark that word. Made manifest to his saints. To whom God. Now, listen to how Paul writes. He says, it has been hidden. Now, he says, made manifest to the saints. Who are the saints? Those who believe. Do you know that? Always take note. That is intelligence. Do you know that? So, because the one who believes, it's no longer hidden. Do you understand? Now he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Now, he makes credence against the word his preaching, right? Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom,
that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So therefore, may students also towards his preaching, which we can say forward, which we also have in his word, epistle. Did you get that? Or in the epistle. So, Paul calls, automatically, what Paul is saying is that Paul is calling the Old Testament writings, what? Mysteries. Right? And he calls the epistle, the revelation of the mystery. That's what we just seen from these three books. So we can say that the Old Testament books are books of mysteries. Books of mysteries. What needs to be explained, and the epistles are the explanation. The Old Testament books are books of mysteries. That is what needs to be explained, right? Right? We just define mysteries, mysterion, as what needs to be explained. And what? The epistles are the explanation. So therefore, we can now say that the disciple of Christ should be able to explain the Old Testament book with the explanation of the epistle. Remember, we said earlier on that the disciple of Christ ought to learn how scriptures are interpreted. Now we are saying this. Oh, make sure you have this. These are major points or highlights of our teaching today, of this study today. We are discussing the promised land. Hallelujah. So, the disciples of Christ should be able to explain the Old Testament books with the explanation of the epistle. This is the reason why Paul will now commend Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. This is why Paul will say in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 to Timothy, that he should study to show himself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the words of truth. So Paul will tell Timothy to rightly divide the words of truth. Did you get that? So that word, to rightly divide the words of truth, is actually the Greek word ototomio. Ototomio logon aletia. Rightly divide the words of truth. So when you hear that, rightly divide the word of truth, you know, a lot comes to mind. A whole lot. Because it says study, eagerness, be eager to present Bible truth. Right? See, as a workman that need not to be shown, rightly divided. So meaning your explanation should not just be in the hurry. That word ototomio is the word that implies to have a straight course. A straight cut. It shows carefulness in handling scriptural truth. It's just like let me use the example that Pastor Shevu will use. He will use an example of miners, those people that mine raw materials. You know, when you have that raw material, I mean, when you are mining, you are going to cut that raw material, or what you have, what you've gotten. There is, what do they call, when you mine, you know, you have to cut it in such a way that it does not spoil the, what do they call, is it gold now, I'll call it the what? The treasure inside. Do you understand? So remember, your face on the surface doesn't look too nice, right? But as you cut, you are careful in cutting so that you don't what? Destroy what you have inside. Do you understand that? So you are careful in cutting. Hallelujah. You are careful in cutting. So it shows carefulness or total view. Carefulness in handling biblical truth. This carefulness could be equated to how a surgeon carries out surgical operation also. You know, when a surgeon wants to carry out surgical operation, you don't just see the surgeon say, oh yeah, lie down. Lie down. Oh yeah. What is lie down? They are careful, right? Let's say some surgery will take time. 1 hour, 2 hours. What are they doing? They're still in surgery. They're still taking their time. They have to cut perfectly. Do you understand? So that is how scripture should be
handle.
With carefulness, utmost carefulness. Now look at this. I wrote something in my book. I said the diligence and carefulness should be how a disciple or should be how biblical truth should be presented. With this diligence and carefulness. So a believer, a disciple of Christ must never be in a rush to arrive at biblical conclusion. Never. Never be in a rush. Must never be in a rush. Yes! We now know who Paul's father is. That is arrival. Do you know what I mean? You are arriving. You just know that person, I just arrived from a rush. He didn't study well. You know, my old man is crucified in Christ. So that thief on the cross is Paul's father. You see your life. Glory to God. Let's see how the Old Testament. Now we say the Old Testament is called what?
Mystery, right?
A book that needs to be explained. Let's see another thing the Old Testament is called. Let's see another word it's called. Act of Apostles chapter 13. Let's see Paul. Acts 13. Verse 32. It says, I will declare to you glad tidings. Are you with me? I will declare to you glad tidings. That promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this to us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm. Hallelujah. And as it's also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Let's look at Acts 26 verses. It says, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers.
This is that.
So when you hear the word our fathers or fathers, what is it referring to? What is it referring to? Or first of all, where was Paul referencing? The Old Testament, right? Their fathers will be the Old Testament, right? Okay. It will be the Old Testament. And the Jews, right? Our fathers. So meaning Paul is referencing the Old Testament when you hear the word our fathers. Look at Romans 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, right? Right? And declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul is showing us again that the promise made to our fathers, that is verse 1, look at verse 1 and 2 to 3, that the promise made to our fathers was through the prophets, right? Right? Did I use the word our fathers? It is a Jew that can say our fathers. Hallelujah. The promise made to the fathers, okay, hallelujah, was through the prophet in the Holy Scriptures, right? Was through the prophet, and is referencing with the Old Testament books, right? This implies that the Old Testament book can also be referred to as the book of God's promise. Do you get that? The Old Testament book can also be referred to as what? The book of God's promise. And this promise is what? Through the what? The prophet. Right? Right? This promise is through the prophet. So, Paul went further to tell us that what was promised to the Father in the scriptures through the prophet was what? Concerning Christ. That's what he said. Right? In verse 3, concerning Christ. Right? So, take note of that. Was concerning Christ. When you hear concerning Christ, Luke 24, 25, 27 comes to mind again. Oh, fools, who are about to believe, not the prophet has spoken. Say, oh, not the Christ has suffered this thing. What the prophet had spoken. Meaning, what the prophet spoke. That word, what the prophet has spoken, is actually what the prophet has prophesied. That is the word, prophesied. What the prophet has spoken. Say, up not the Christ of this thing and to enter into his glory. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Take note of that word, all the prophet has spoken. So what the prophet will be speaking will be what concerning Christ. Right? Look at verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, while I was yet with you, that all things must indeed be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet. I mean, all things must indeed be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. So take note of that word. All things must be fulfilled, which are written in the prophets concerning me. Did you see that? So, meaning what the prophet will be speaking will be what concerning Christ. So, how do you know a prophet in the Old Testament? By what they said concerning Christ. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that is why the word prophet is the Greek word prophetis, which means to speak forth or to speak inspired. One who speaks forth or speaks inspired. So he uses the word all that the prophet has spoken. That word spoken is the word laleo. Laleo, L-A-L-E-O, laleo, is a word used for what is uttered. Everyday speaking. Everyday speaking. What is uttered? Laleo, L-A-L-E-O, laleo. What is written? I mean, what is uttered or what is what? Or an everyday speaking. So therefore, we can say that what is written, what we have written was first of all spoken. Do you get that? What was documented was first of all spoken. So God's promise was first altered before they were written as scriptures. So they were first of all altered before they were written. And Jesus now helps us see that what they had as their message, what they spoke about was concerning his suffering and entering into glory. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you see what we are doing? Can you see what we are doing? Now look at verse 37. He said, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Right? Remember, we said that needs explanation, right? Mysterion, right? I would not have seen that before now. What this prophet spoke about was what concerning Christ, which is what the promise, right? So can we now say that what needs explanation is the promise in the scriptures? Can we say that? What is in need of explanation is the promise in the scriptures.
Can we say that? Glory to God. So we can say that what is in need of explanation is the promise in the scriptures. So what we have as mysteries in the Old Testament book is the promise of God to the fathers through the prophets, which is concerning Christ. Is that true? Hallelujah. So what was the mystery, what we have as mystery, mysterion, is actually the promise of God to the fathers through the prophets. Let's look at that word promise. The word promise is from the Greek word epagelia, E-P-A-G-E-L-L-I-A. E-P-A-G-E-L-L-I-A, epagelia. It implies a commitment, an announcement. A commitment, an announcement to perform or do something. Where the receiver does nothing but believe in what the promisor will do. It is a commitment to announce. It's a commitment, an announcement to perform or do something. Where the receiver does nothing but believe in what the promisor will do. Because the receiver has no part in the performance. All he does is to receive it. Then cannot be undone nor nullified.
So is a commitment, an announcement.
Commitment, an announcement to perform or do something. Where the receiver does nothing but to believe in what the promisor will do. Because the receiver has no part in the performance. All it does is to receive it. When this is done, it cannot be undone or nullified because he was not a performer in what? In the promise. So this is why we say, once a man gets born again, he cannot become unborn again. Hallelujah. Our salvation is eternal. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In the New Testament books, I didn't say in the New Testament, I said in the New Testament books. In the New Testament books of the Bible, the word promise, epagelia, was first used by Luke in Luke 24, verse 49.
So it's used, it's not said by Luke, used in Luke,
in the book of Luke. It was used by Jesus. Hallelujah. But Luke documented it. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. I send the promise of my Father on you. Now, mark that word, the promise of my Father. Look at when Luke will document similar thing again, will be Acts of Apostles chapter 1. Go to Acts 1 verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Did you see that? So Luke is saying the same thing.
So let's see how the epistles will explain that word promise.
So Paul, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4, and Luke 24, verse 49, we'll get to see that shortly. I just wanted to show us how it was first used in the New Testament books of the Bible. Let's see the explanation from the book of, from the epistles. Remember, we say the epistles are the explanations, right, of what, of the words of the prophet, right? They are the explanations to us. And what we do is to do what? Is to study, right? Explain with the explanation of the epistles, right? Are you hearing me?
Okay. Glory to God.
So there are some other things that we'll get to see shortly. Okay. Get to see them. We'll get to see them in the second session.
Let us see in the second session.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we are going to be looking at the epistles to know the explanation of what the promise in the Old Testament. Do you get that? Look at 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18 to 20.
Okay, it says, but as God is true, our word to you was not nay, was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached amongst you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Verse 20, for all the promise of God are in him yea, and in him amen, unto the glory, unto the glory of God by us.
Now we hear all the promises. Now, the translators, not Paul.
Epagilia does not have a plural. There's no plural in epagilia. Just the same way, there's no plural in charisma. Are you hearing me? There's no plural. But you know, when the translators are translating, you see gifts. Remember, I've told us about that, right? Based on what is their own, they suggest based on the context of usage. Do you know that? So they can put, that's how you find them put gifts. But in Greek, originally there is no plural. Because the charisma, we discussed that. Let me not go into charisma, but we're discussing that next year, right? When we're discussing concerning spiritual. Remember, our first 4 or 3 months will be discussing spiritual. Four months. Hallelujah. So it's part of what we'll be discussing all through. Hallelujah. The charisma. So the charisma of God is not actually pure. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Aha.
So when the writers now put concerning spiritual, remember what gifts is actually italicized. So when the translators interpreters now have the word gifts, was that because of the fact that they are going to be discussing 9 gifts, right? But actually those are not gifts. Generally, those are actually faculties in the gift. Generally, I hate that. Those are actually gifts in the charisma. Because the charisma of God is singular. Generally, hallelujah. Are you following? The same way too, we have epagilia, promise. We'll get to see it shortly. Hallelujah. We'll get to see it shortly at the end. But you know, the word epagilia is not pure. But the translators, or the, should I call it translators now, or the interpreters? Will now interpret it as based on what they feel, construction. Remember, I said all the promises, right? But what if
Someone like me is to translate that. I will put all the promise. Do you understand? All the promise, because Epagilia is not pure. Do you understand? Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, let's go ahead. Now that word all is not past. Do you understand? It's not years, it is not. The word all is the Greek word poios or osos. Osos. H-O-S-O-S. Osos. Osos. It's the word that implies great. What is great? Great. What is of value? What is of value? Of weight? Now, if we now put, listen, remember if we put all the promises, grammatically it makes sense, right? Right? But we have just told ourselves that our promise is not inferior. Right? So now that word all actually implies great. So we cannot put it. What? Or that verse can be written as the great promise of God. Did you get that? Eh? The great promise of God. In him are ye, and in him amen. Did you see that? The great promise of God. When he says the word are in him, ye and amen, what does it mean? The word ye is the Greek word nia, N-I-A, nia, no, N-I-A.
No, my mother's phone. Please leave while I speak.
Nia.
Nia.
Ah. N-I-A. It implies a strong affirmation. A strong affirmation, assertion or confirmation. You can say it implies certainty or surely. You get that? Surely. So it's used for a strong affirmation, assertion or confirmation. That's what that word yea is used for. We just say yes. A strong affirmation. The word amen is the Greek word amen. It implies surely or so be it. Or let it be done. Let it be done. We find it in Revelation 1 verse 18. Revelation 1 18, are you there? Revelation 1 18. It says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of the Hades and of death. He said, I am he who live, I'm he who lives, I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Did you get that? I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Meaning he is the amen. Do you get that? He's telling you about, he said, I am he who lives, and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Meaning I am the amen. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So one of Jesus' office is the amen. Let it be so. Was that what you said, the thing of amen? Let it be done. Let it come to pass. That is the meaning of the word amen. Let it come to pass. So when he said he is the amen, what does it mean? He's the one who brings the great promise of God to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is this telling us? The great promise of God answers to him and find their confirmation and fulfillment in him. That is why in we'll get there now. We'll get there shortly. So the great promise of God answers to him and find their confirmation and fulfillment in him. We begin to close this session.
We will begin to close this session. This is why we said earlier on that the promises or the promise made to the Father in the Old Testament was concerning Christ, because he brings it to pass. In Luke 24 verse 24, he uses that word. See, that he said to them, these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled. This is that word fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For him to be the Christ, what must be written must be concerning him.
Hallelujah.
He said all things must be fulfilled. Jesus said they must be fulfilled. That word fulfilled is the Greek word plero. It implies to execute, plero, to execute, to bring to pass, to accomplish a task. That word plero is used for a specific accomplishment. For a specific accomplishment.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So he said, all things must be fulfilled, which were written. In the law of Moses, in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. You can see which were spoken of by the prophet concerning me. Right? So he brings them to pass. So since the prophet spoke concerning Jesus, he is the one who brings the great promise of God in the scriptures to pass. Already documented for us in the scriptures of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we'll see you in the next 10 minutes.